The drone war over Ukraine and the escalation in the Gulf share a common thread, which is the degree to which non-state-adjacent military actors are using asymmetric tools to reshape what we used to call conventional deterrence. In the Middle East this morning, the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps claimed it destroyed a U.S. surveillance asset near Erbil in northern Iraq. The Pentagon has not confirmed the asset's identity or status, which itself tells you something. They're neither denying the claim outright nor confirming it.
And then there's the separate claim that Iran targeted a vessel in the Strait of Hormuz, which the U.S. called a total lie. Those are notably blunt words from the Pentagon. What's interesting is that the Hormuz claim came from Iranian state media with significant fanfare, and the U.S. response was not measured diplomatic language. It was a flat denial with aggressive framing. That tells me the administration believes the Iranian claim was pure theater designed for domestic Iranian consumption, not an actual operational event.
The backdrop to all of this is the Financial Times reporting on a covert four-month Navy SEAL operation to clear Iranian mines from the Strait of Hormuz. This is a story that, under normal circumstances, would dominate the news cycle for a week on its own. Elite divers, robotic boats, underwater sonar, a sophisticated minesweeping operation conducted in secret while Iran was still publicly denying it had placed mines in the strait. The FT's reporting suggests the operation concluded earlier this summer, which raises the obvious question of what the current state of the strait actually is.
About 20% of the world's traded oil passes through the Strait of Hormuz. Every day that it's operationally contested, there's a premium on energy prices, an insurance premium on shipping, and a political premium on Gulf security commitments. The SEAL operation, if accurate, represents an enormous commitment of classified resources to keeping that choke point open without triggering a broader confrontation.
Meanwhile, Benjamin Netanyahu gave remarks over the weekend stating that the Iranian regime's end is near. He's made versions of this claim before, but the current context is different. The combination of the IRGC's escalatory posture, internal Iranian economic pressure, the rial has lost something like 40% of its value this year. And whatever intelligence Netanyahu is apparently seeing has clearly shifted his public calculus towards something closer to a countdown framing.
I'm always cautious about treating Netanyahu's public rhetoric as a direct window into Israeli operational planning. He's a sophisticated communicator who uses these statements strategically. But the combination of his remarks, the IRGC's aggressive claims, and the classified U.S. mine-clearing operation does suggest that whatever is happening in the Gulf right now is more active, more dangerous, and more operationally significant than the public narrative has conveyed.
And the Erbil claim, if it's accurate, is particularly concerning because northern Iraq has been a relatively stable buffer zone. The Kurdish regional government in Erbil has spent years maintaining a careful balance between Baghdad, Ankara, Tehran, and Washington. An IRGC strike on a U.S. asset there isn't just a military provocation. It's a signal about how Iran is reading the current moment, and the signal is, we're willing to escalate at multiple points simultaneously.
Which brings us to a question I keep returning to. At what point does the combination of Hormuz pressure, the Erbil strike, and Israeli signaling converge into something that forces a direct U.S. decision?